Okay, today's Daf Chaf Beis. We're starting a new perek, a new Mishnah, and today's shiur is sponsored by Avrumi and Chavi Khan, Le'ilu Nishmas Moshe Eliezer ben Binyamin HaKohen, and for anonymously, it's sponsored for Refua Shleima for Tuvia Shmuel ben Chana Sara. So now the Mishnah is proceeding along with the order of the day. Actually, this Mishnah is going to discuss the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen that we alluded to, that we mentioned in the end of the first perek. But now the Mishnah is going to go into it in greater detail. There's a machlokas we've shown him whether this Mishnah talks about Yom Kippur or every day of the year. And we'll just explain the machlokas as we do the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Barishona, originally, meaning once upon a time, the early custom in the Beis HaMikdash, was Kol Misha Rotze, Litro Mesham Mizbeach, Torim. Whoever wanted to, whichever Kohen wanted to do the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen, went ahead and did it. As we know, the Kohanim were divided into 24 Mishmaros, so you only worked once every 6 months, and even then, it was divided into Beis Av, you only worked one day. Each Kohen worked one day, and on Shabbos, everybody worked. So, 2 days. So, you only worked twice a year, really, by yourself, with your own family members. So, on any particular on the day that you were selected, on the day that it was your Beis Av, if you wanted to work in the you wanted to do the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen, go ahead and did it. Because of the question was, if this mission is talking about Yom Kippur, how could anyone else but the Kohen Gadol do it? It's a vote of Yom Kippur. So the answer is because it's at night, and the only time the Kohen Gadol had to do it was the Yom. Since this could be done at night, the Kohen Gadol was not yet involved. So we had before the Gemara of Chulsha Kohen Gadol. Remember? We said since the Kohen Gadol is going to be weak, so some took out the word Gadol, the Chulsha the Kohen, just to give the other Kohanim a head start. So Ubizman Shehein Merubin, and at the time that a lot of Kohanim showed up in the morning. Everybody was very excited to do this mitzvah. So a lot of people showed up. So then, Rutzin v'olim b'keves, they used to run up the ramp. Kol hakodim es chaveru ba'arba amos zacha. Whoever got to within 4 amos of the top of the ramp first, he's the one who got it. It was a race. It was a race up the ramp. Rashi says the ramp was 32 amos. That's a question if that was in lengthwise or widthwise. But either way, it was. If it wasn't. It was very close. It was almost a perfect square. So either way, it was close. They say the other way was 33 and change. So either way, it was very close. Whoever got up to the ramp first, he's the one who got Zolcha to do the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. Which means you have a shovel. Where was the shovel? The stomach didn't run up with a shovel. It was up there already. And whoever ran up first took the shovel, took off some ash, brought it back down, and they got that mitzvah. But the Imha Yushnayim Shovin. If 2 people got there at the exact same time, it was a tie, then Hamamuna Amalahem, the one in charge, the Mamuna, the one in charge of the administrator, whoever that was, he would say, Hitzbiyu, everybody now stick out a finger and we'll have a lottery. There's a machlokas we've shown him here, who was in this lottery. Rashi holds everybody. Everybody. Not just the 2 that tied, everybody. Why? So the Tosfos Yontos explains, because what's going to happen now? Everyone's going to stick out a finger. The Mishnah is going to say, 1 finger or 2 fingers. Rashi's holds, even if a Kohen stuck out 2 fingers, he was only counted once. So why would he stick out 2 fingers? So the Gemara later is going to say, because let's say the guy, what's going to happen is, the Kohen, the Mamuna, is going to say, okay, number 1,000. And then he'll start counting around in the circle till he gets to 1,000. Whoever lands on 1,000 gets—he won the lottery. So the Gemara is going to say later that sometimes it was hard for a coin if it was a little weak to keep 1 finger out for so long. To keep 2 fingers out, it's easier. So the weaker Kohanim will try to keep 2 fingers out. You have more balance. You have more ease if you're holding out 2 fingers. But Eina Chanami, that was only counted as 1. So if that's true, then if there are only 2 people in the lottery, the Muna can fix it. If it's going to be an odd number, it'll be 1. If it'll be an even number, it'll be the other. So it wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be a fair lottery. Therefore, everybody else had to go back into the pot, according to Rashi, and count them all again. According to others, no, it would be only those two would be in the lottery. So how do you prevent? How do you prevent fixing? How do you prevent cheating? Well, the Rambam holds that they would count each finger. So that's one answer. Maybe you didn't have to hold like Rashi. They would count each finger. So the guy puts out two fingers, it's counted as two. So it's very hard for the guy to try to fix it, not knowing what they're going to put out. That's that. Now, we'll talk about it when we finish the Mishnah. Umahein motziyin. What would they put out? Achas or shtayim. One finger or two. And again, the machlokas, Rashi holds that even if they put out two, they would only count one. Others say no, they would count each finger separately. The ein motziyin agodel. But they would not put out the thumb. Why wouldn't they put out the thumb? Because since the thumb is half the size of your other fingers, it's very, very easy to manipulate whether or not you want it there. So according to Rashi, you hold that they would count your body as one anyway. Then what the thumb could do is, the thumb could throw the counter off, and he could think there's another person there. Because let's say everyone's standing in a circle. That's what the Gemara is going to say. Everyone stood in a circle, and the coin would count the fingers. But according to Rashi, he would be counting people. So if he saw a thumb, he could think that's another person. So if you see they're coming up to you, and if whether or not you put out your thumb, you can get it. You have incentive to lie. Therefore, they're not allowed to put out thumbs. That's first of all. The ein motziyin agodel b'mikdash, no thumbs in the base of mikdash. Maisa, there was once a story. Shahayu shnehem shavin, two people got up there at the exact same time. It was a tie. V'ratzin, they were running. V'olin b'keves. V'dachat echem mehem es chavero. So one kohen pushed his friend. He pushed him off. Some take out the word as chavero, because not his friend. You don't push your friend. Es chavero. V'nafal, he fell. V'nishbarad, he broke his leg. He broke his leg because he fell off the mizbeach. V'kivin shiro bezdin shebaru de sakana. Since bezdin saw this could lead to sakana, this procedure of letting people run up and the first guy who gets there wins, that could lead to this. So therefore, his skinu, they made a takana, shelo yihu tormen es hamizbeach el b'payis. That they should only have true possession with the lottery. Meaning this whole procedure of counting fingers, that's how they started off in the morning. Used to be it was a foot race. Once that led to this event, then they took away the foot race and they just went straight to lottery. The Arba Paisos Hayu Sham, there were four lotteries that took place over the span of the day. Vize Pais Harishon, this is the first one. So a few issues over here. So as we said before, if two people tied, then according to Rashi, when they had the lottery, they brought everybody back. They brought everybody back, not just the two that tied. Everybody was now back into the lottery. And again, they would stand in a circle. The mamuna would say to one of them, take off your mitznefes. Whoever that was, he was one that they started the count with. Most people say he put the mitznefes back on. He didn't want to have his head uncovered. And then the kohen got the mamuna would pick a random number. Rashi says 160. Much more than the people that were there in the circle, and then he would start counting. Right, according to Rashi, he only counted the people, whether they had that one finger or two. According to the Rambam, he counted fingers. What? Now Rashi says, where does Rashi say it? A minute. Can't find it right now, but Rashi does say here the next Rashi. No, it's not that Rashi. I don't know. I can't find it right now. That's Rashi Shita. Rashi Shita is that might be on Chav Gimel. Might be tomorrow. Rashi Shita is they counted the people. Either they put up two fingers, they counted the people. Based on this Mishnah, the Magen Avraham says as follows: let's say you have a shul, and there are three people out of yard site. So who davens for the Amid? So they used to take a lottery. They would draw lots. So how would they draw lots? So the Magen Avraham says everybody would get a number, and whichever number was they would randomly give people a ticket, and they would write a number on the ticket, Lamed, Nun, and whoever got the highest number was the winner. He was zochet to daven for the Amid. So I don't know why this would ever happen, but let's say two people got the same number. So there's a tie. So the Magen Avraham says, you do it over and you include the third guy. Because this Mishnah says, according to Rashi, if there was a tie, now you're doing the lottery, you include everybody, even the ones who lost. So the Magen Avraham says, same story. You're doing the lottery for the Amud, you you're doing a lot of brisa d'yomet. Again, you include everybody. That's what the Magen Avraham says. So your Rava says, no, it doesn't make any sense. The whole purpose why you're including everybody, Tosfos Yontif said, was to prevent fraud, was to prevent cheating. But if there's no issue of cheating, why should you have to include, why should the guy who certainly didn't get it have a second chance to get the yomet? That's a machlokas over there between the Magen Avraham and the Elyahu Rava. Right. Where? In the Beis Hamikdash? Right. It was a tie running. Right. Well, we didn't do anything yet. They didn't do anything yet. This is the first avoda. Yeah. Nothing else was done. So if there was a tie, they would have a lottery. So according to the Magen Avraham, he says if they would have a lottery, who should daven for the Amid? And there was a tie between two people. Let's say there are five people out of yard sight. And there was a tie, and two people with Zolcha with the tickets. So they would redo it with everybody. Because, you see this Mishnah, they redid everybody. So Eliyahu Rava says, no, the only reason they did everybody is because to prevent cheating. Otherwise, there's no reason to do everybody. So that's a discussion that comes out of this. Okay. So that's the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, V'hameikara, my time alo tekinale Rabban and Paisa. Why didn't the Rabbanan start off? Why didn't they start off with this lottery? Why did they have it that it was a race? Why was the reason for that? So the Gemara answers, Meikara Savar, because originally they thought, Kivan Davodas Lailahi, since it's a nighttime Avoda, Lo Chashivalahu, people aren't going to be into Kahana, we're not going to be interested. There's no reason to have a lottery because no one's ever going to show up. You'll have a few people, okay, so let them run for it. But as a general rule, it's not going to be one of the more exciting Avodas, it's not going to be one of the more prestigious avodas, and people are not going to be, the kahanim are not going to be so interested. It's the middle of the night. But it's still night. It's before Alos. It's before Alos. It's before dawn they would do this. So who's going to show up? But, v'lo asu, kibun dechazu dekaasu, since they saw people were showing up. And v'asu l'dei sakana, the story in the Mishnah happened, somebody broke their leg. Therefore, tekinu le'paisa, they established a pious. They made a lottery. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. V'ha'ivar mu'pedarim, but the burning of the fats and the limbs, davodas la'ilahu, it's also an avoda at night. It's also a nighttime avoda. Since it could be done at night, they would purposely wait till the night to free up time during the day. So that's also an avoda at night. The tekinu le'rabbanan paisa, and the rabbanan established a pious to see who does that. So if they did a pious for nighttime avoda for there, why didn't they do it for the Trumas Hadashen? So the Gemara answers, no. Sofa avoda di mamihi. It was the end of the day. Really, it was a continuation of the day. It was a continuation of the day, so therefore it was considered chashuv. Therefore, they knew everyone showing up for it. Therefore, they had to do a lottery. So the Gemara says, hanami tchilas avoda di mamihi. This is the first avoda of the day. So same thing. It's the first avoda of the day. Tamar b'yalchanan. If somebody washed his hands and feet in anticipation of doing the Trumas Hadashen before Alos, then Lamachar, when it gets light, ain't Tzarev Lakadesh. You don't have to wash your hands and feet again. You know why? Shekvar Kiddush Mitzchila Avoda. Because you already did it for the first Avoda. There's a halacha that every time a Kohen did Avoda, every day, he had to wash his hands and feet. So you got up 2 hours earlier to do Trumas Hadashen. You wash your hands and feet. You don't have to wash them now when it gets morning. You already did it. What do you see? He says here, because it's Mitzchilas Avoda. It's the beginning of Avoda. So you see that this is called Avoda. And if it's called Avoda and it's the beginning of it's the first Avoda, shouldn't Kahana have been excited about it? So how come for the end of Avoda, in the beginning of the night, they were excited, and for this they weren't excited? So the Gemara answer is no. Ema shekvakidesh mitchila le'avoda. No, they got up early and they washed their hands and feet for avoda. Not necessarily that Trumas Hadashen is avoda. Other avoda, whatever the avoda was going to be that day, they got up early to wash their hands and feet. So that you don't, when the sun rises, you don't have to wash your hands and feet again. You just washed them 2 hours ago. That's all he's saying, Rabbi Yochanan. Now he's not taking the stand that this was considered a real bona fide avoda that the kahanim would be excited about. Ikad Yamri, or another explanation, Meikara Savor. First they held. First, the it's very interesting. Rashi says Bezdin. Like Bezdin was involved in what the Kahanim did. It doesn't say the Kahanim. Rashi says Bezdin. Meikara Savar. First, they thought Kivan Deika Onus Shina. Since it's taking away my sleep, I gotta get up early for this. So they thought, who's getting up early for this? Therefore, lo asu, no one's showing up for this. 3 o'clock in the morning, who's showing up?
Kivon dechazu deasu.
Since then, they saw no people were coming. They were showing up,
and because nami l'day sakana,
and it was also led to a sakana. The guy fell off and broke his leg. They pushed him off and he broke his leg.
Takina le rabbanon paisa.
The rabbanon established a pious, a lottery to avoid any problems, avoid any fighting. Yeah. So therefore, what? So if there's reason, therefore what? Therefore, they would show up automatically. But the Gemara is going to sort of address that. So the Gemara asked, wait a minute. But Avarim and Pedarim, the burning of the fat, also deprived you of sleep. It also deprived you of sleep. And yet, they came right away. So if that also deprived you of sleep and they came right away, what made them think this would be different? Why would now one be excited to do this?
So the Gemara answered, but Tekinah Rabbanan Paisa.
So the Gemara answers, unbelievable answer.
Shiny Migna Mimekum.
No, it's much easier to push off going to sleep than to get up extra early. Much easier to do that than to do that. So when it came to the Avarim, so I got to stay up another 3 hours to do that. That's okay, I'll do that. The Kahanim were excited, they were able to do it. Because pushing off sleep is much easier. But to wake up 3 hours early, that's much harder. It's much harder. And people were not going to, they feared people weren't going to do it. But when people went ahead and did it, They changed the practice. So there's a sefer called the Child Sutra with Torah Lishma. He has an unbelievable shaila. He says there were two people, Reuven and Shimon, and they were hired to stay up all night and switch off learning for a nifter. Learning, take the hillum for a nifter. So Reuven was going to do the first half of the night, and Shimon was going to do the second half of the night. And this went on for a few days, and then Shimon had some appointment, so he asked Reuven to switch with him. And Reuven said no. So Shimon said, listen, we're not... we have the same amount of minutes, same amount of hours that each one of us are dedicated. If you don't switch with me, because I can't make it, it's like Mina Sedon. What do you care? So he said, what do you mean? Going to sleep later is much better than waking up early. I have the better half. So they went to this Torah Lishma, and he said, you're right. The Gemara says that. The Beferish Gemara. That getting up, going to sleep later is much easier than going to sleep early. And he said that Reuven does not have to switch with him. Because he's got a better half. It's amazing how they pull this out of left field. What?
Right.
So that's that. So since it's much harder to wake up early, they thought nobody would show up. When people showed up, they changed the, and then someone fell off the, someone got pushed off the mizbeach. They changed the pious.
So the Gemara says, "V'takanta lahach gisa havi."
This is the reason why they made the takana? No! Takanta lahai gisa. There's a whole different reason why they did it this way. You know why? The Tanya.
Misha zacha b'trumas hadeshen.
If somebody, they made an announcement. Whoever wins trumas hadeshen,
zacha b'sidur ma'aracha.
You also get the job of setting up the logs on the mizbeach. And u'mishne gizri etzim. And the two blocks of wood that also they would set up to use to burn the... to use it for the fire on the Mizbeah. Meaning that they wanted people, that the whole purpose of the pious was to lump all three together. Because they thought that true possession was something not exciting. Nobody was going to do it. So you know what? If you do true possession, you also get these other two jobs. Those are all very chashuv. That was incentive for the Kahanim to show up. To give them more jobs. That's the reason why they made the pious. Nothing to do with the story in the Mishnah.
So Gemara answers... The Gemara answers, you're right. But you're both right. Amar Rav Ashi, no, shtei takanos havi.
It was a two-stage process.
Meikar, originally, suffer they thought, lo asu,
no one's coming.
Kivan dechazuk dekaasu,
since they saw the Kahanim were coming,
v'asu na'am l'day sakana,
and somebody got pushed off,
takinu le paisa,
they established a pious.
Kivan de takinu le paisa,
once they established this pious, lo asu, people didn't want to come.
Amri, they said, Mi yemar demizra milon.
Who said I'm going to win that lottery? Meaning, it's not chashuv enough for me. I'm not interested in. I'm not going to win. It's not worth getting up so early. On the off chance, it's going to be me for such a small job, such a, so to speak, insignificant job.
So therefore, what they do? So they made a new takana. Whoever gets the Trumat Hadeshen, Yizke b'sidu ma'aracha u'b'shnei gizrei etzim kihechu d'nitzu u'nispaisu. They added on, you know what? Whoever gets Trumat Hadeshen will also get to arrange the logs and the bricks of wood on the Mizbeach. That already was very exciting. That already gave Kahanim incentive to get up early and to try to win the lottery. I don't know. How did they decide on those? I don't know. Okay. Now we're going to get into a whole discussion about counting, because the Gemara had mentioned about counting the fingers, and that's going to lead to a discussion about counting Jews, counting people, which is something that we don't really do straight out. So the Gemara says, but before we get to that, just a few lines of something else. Ubizman shehin merubin. So Amar of Papa, Rav Papa says, I'm not exactly sure of the how exactly the Mizbeach looked to understand what Rav Papa's asking. So we'll just read through it. Amar Rav Papa, pshitali, it's pasha to me that arba amos da'ara lo ratzim. It's clear to me that the four amos that I'm talking about, that the Mishnah talks about, whoever got within four amos, he won. Four amos of what? So it's clear to me, it can't be that we got to the four amos of the base of the ramp. That can't be. You know why? Because Ratzin Va'olim Bekevitz Tanan. It says they ran up the ramp. So it can't be that we're talking about you didn't even get to the ramp yet. But the first guy to run to the ramp. That can't be. You got within 4 hours of the ramp. That certainly can't be. I mean, what was the havmir that it is? Like, he even has to mention this. Kamaisa nami lo ruts lo. It also can't mean that you're the first person to run up 4 amos of the ramp. That can't be. You know why? Olam bekeves tanan. Rutin olam bekeves tanan. It says they ran up the ramp. Can't be they ran 4 amos. It's got to be they ran up the whole ramp. V'hadar kol hakodem es chaveiro. And it says that he got there before his friends. So it has to be that they got somewhere. The baini baini namilo, you can't say that it was on some mark up the ramp, somewhere on the ramp, in some unknown spot on the ramp, that was the finish line. That can't be. De lo mishayim milsa, because we don't know where that is. So the Mishnah would never say something that's so vague. So it can't be that the finish line was somewhere on the ramp, some spot, that they had an arbitrary place, you got to that spot, you won. That can't be, because we don't know where that is. So pshitali, the gabi mizbeach tanan. It must be that you got up to the mizbeach. The first person to come within 4 amos of the mizbeach, he was the winner. That's clear. That's how we said the Mishnah. That's clear. Mehezes kasha. Tanan. So boy Rav Papa. Rav Papa asked the following question. Arba amos, sha'amru. These 4 amos that I said, is Bahadye Ama Yesod V'Ama Soviv? Does it include the Ama of the Yesod, the Ama of the base, the Ama Soviv, and the Ama around? Not sure what that means. If it has, how do I explain that? Then you get to a sove, which is another ring around the Mizbeach, right? So the base was not on top, it was on the bottom.
So
on
the right, but if you're running up the southern end, there is no Yisod.
Uh-huh. So what's his question? That when we're getting within 4 amos, we're including what?
What's the second part of his
question? Or Dilma Bar Me'ami Yisod V'Ami Sove. Without those two, and the answer is Teku. So I saw someone said that the ramp and the Mizbeach were not flush. And whether you included that part as well. There was a space between the ramp and the Mizbeach. Was that included in the finish line or not? So I saw some of Farshim explain this question. Okay. Yeah. When was it abrogated?
No, it says that they will not be winding up.
The right. No, originally there used to be a race. Originally it was a race.
Right.
Whoever got there first won.
Right.
The guy pushed his friend off.
Right.
Said, we can't have this. So they made a lottery.
Right. So what's the point? I mean, why is Gemara going into this?
Oh, because Gemara's giving you a little background. You have that sometimes. You have it a lot. But originally they did this, and they changed and did the following. You have that often. That's not so unusual. Okay. The Mishnah said, "Vinim ha yushnayim shavim." If the two people, if it was a tie, hamamun amalehem itzbiu. So the Gemara says, "Tana hotziu etzba oseichem leminyan." Everybody should stick their fingers out, and we're going to start counting. So the Gemara says, "Wait a minute, vinim ninhu ledidhu." So why do you have to stick fingers out? Why can't you just count the people? All the kahana are in a circle and say, "Okay, I'm going to pick the number 38. Whoever's number 38 is the winner." Why do they do that? Why didn't you count the people? Messiah Leila of Yitzchak. This supports the opinion of Rav Yitzchak. The Amr of Yitzchak, Aser Limnos Es Yisrael. It's Aser to count Jews, Afilu Lidvar Mitzvah. Even for a mitzvah. This is a mitzvah. Dichsev, because it says, Vayifkedein Bebezek. That when Shaul was counting the army, he counted them in Bezek. He counted them, no, the Gemara says he counted them with Bezek, which means, Rashi explains, pieces of pottery. He didn't want to count the people themselves, so he asked everybody to give a piece of pottery, and he counted the pottery, they didn't know how many soldiers there were. So the Gemara asks, Tzmaskin Flor of Ashi, Mimai, Dahai, Bezek, Lishna, Demivzak. How do you know the word Bezek means pottery? Dilma, Shema, Demasahu. Maybe it's the name of a place. He counted them. Where did he count them? In the town of Bezek. Kindik Siv, Vayim Tzu, Adoni Bezek. And then the pasuk finishes, Bebezek. Maybe it's the name of a place. Who said it means which pottery? The Gemara says, you're right. Elamehacha, from here. Vayishma Shol Esa'am. Shol heard the people. Vayifkidim Bitilaim. And he counted them with sheep. He told each person to grab a sheep. And he counted them with sheep. And that's how you see that you don't count people. Tosus Yishonim says something amazing. The bottom, the first Tosus Yishonim, he says, Vayifkidim Bitilaim. Shei Makam Hulu Fi Apshat. Pashat Apshat is the name of a place. Pashat is the name of a place. So it's not even the Gemara. So the Chidah says something which is very difficult. He says, no, if it would have been the name of a place, it would have said, it would have said, Bitlaim in that place, Vayifkedeim, he counted them. In other words, it would have been worded in reverse. However, by Bezek, it doesn't say that. So I don't understand that answer. So I'm not exactly sure what the Tosfos Chaim is driving at. Like, how could he say that when the Gemara says the opposite? What's the Tosfos Chaim saying? That Al Pi Pshat, it really is the name of a place, but the Gemara doesn't say that way. The Gemara doesn't learn that way. The Kasha is, why not? Why did the Gemara ask that question? The Gemara assumed it wasn't the name of a place; it was really sheep. Anyway, so they quote there's a place in Devarim, and the Targum calls it Tloim. So you see, it was a place. We're going to get to David. There's a strong question. Why they brought... What? Oh, we're going to get to why are fingers... Why are fingers different than people? Why are fingers different than people? Why are shkalim different than people? So, what's the reason that you can't... You know, we'll answer that question in a few lines. So, what do we have to? Amar Elazar, Kol Hamon Es Yisrael, whoever counts Jews, over Belav. You over in Alav. Shenema, because it says in Hosea, V'haya Mispar B'nei Yisrael Kachol Hayom, Asher Lo Yimad, that the Jews will be as great as the sand, they can't be measured. Rab Nachman by Yitzchak Amar, over B'shnei Lavin, Shenema, Lo Yimad V'lo Yisafer. They won't be able to be measured, and they won't be able to be counted. Two problems. Amar Shmuel by Nachmani, Rabbi Yonos and Rami. Ksiv, it's a stira. Ksiv, it says, "Vayir misper b'nei Yisrael v'chol hayam," that they will be as great as the sand. Uksiv, and it says, "Asher lo yomer v'lo yisafer," they won't be able to be counted. So the sand can be counted, even though it take a very long time. So what's pshat? So the Gemara answers, "Lo kasha, it's not a kasha. Kam b'zman she'esol otsim ritzon shel makom." When the b'nei Yisrael do the will of Hashem, they'll be so numerous, they'll be impossible to count. But kan b'zman she'ein otsim Yisrael shel makom, and the other. When they can be counted is unfortunately when they don't deserve, when they're not doing what Hashem's will, then they'll be able to be counted. They won't be so numerous. Rav Meir Omer Mishum Rav Abba Yossi Ben Dustoy Lo Kasha. Different answer. Kan b'day Adam, kan b'day Shemayim. B'day Adam, it's impossible. B'day Shemayim will be. B'day Shemayim, it's possible, obviously. So Amarav. So let's stop over here. So what's the reason? It's very interesting that the Gemara quotes reasons that are enough. What about in Parshas Kisisa? When Hashem tells him, bring a machzor shekel, we know because he can't count people directly. So the Rambam, the son of the Rambam, Rabbi Avraham ben Aram, he says the root of the Isser stems from the pasuk when Hashem tells Yaakov, Asher lo yisafer mirov. You won't be able to be counted. It means that there is an Isser to count. This Isser to count is taken to some extremes. There are gedolim in Israel that holds that people shouldn't participate in the census because it's a count. It's counting people. It's a very extreme opinion. Kind of ballot. So they asked for Moshe, is it mutter to mark graves in sequential order? 1, 2, 3. So Rav Moshe said, no. If you can't count them when they're alive, you can't count them when they're not alive. But Rav Moshe suggested, what the point is you want, when you go visit the cemetery, you want to be able to find your relative fast. So Rav Moshe suggested was, have sections in number order, make sure the sections are not in order. In other words, this section should be 1 to 100. The next section should be from 375 to 475. So you're not counting because they're out of order. And then you'll be able to find your relative very, very quickly. But to count in sequential order, Moshe felt that was a problem of counting. This is something that's pretty serious. So why are fingers different? And why are shkalim different? And why are maybe shirts different? There's a shaila that this guy was at a wedding, and that they wanted to know the amount of people that were there for the bill, for the price. So they said, you know what? They'll count the feet. And then afterwards, this person, this child's in tshuva, wrote a tshuva and said, it's mutter. You can count fingers. You can count feet. So what's the difference between that and counting heads? So the Chassam Sofer said the difference is it's a few answers to this question. So for the difference is because when you count people, when you count heads, that's exactly, you're not making a mistake. So you can't make a mistake. And therefore, since you can't make a mistake, the count's going to be genuine. When you're counting shkalim, you're counting fingers, a lot of mistakes can happen. So you're never going to be exact, and therefore it's not a problem. That's what Chassam Sofer answers. The Avdi Nezer says, he doesn't agree with that. He said, because the head is the most chashuv. Still difficult. The head is the most chashuv. The head you can't count. Anything else you can. Others said, Avinet even suggested a different answer. He says, what's the purpose of the count? The purpose of counting the fingers is not to know how many people there were. We don't care how many people there were. The purpose of counting the fingers was to pick the person who's going to be the one who's going to do the avoda. So we don't want a result. We're not interested in the result. All we want is who's getting this job. But if it would be result oriented, that might be a problem. That'd be a problem. Those are some of the suggestions. I mean, the Chassam Sofer, I think, is the easiest one to swallow, right? If you count the machzor shekels, so who's giving, who's not giving, it's very, 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 very difficult to get a number out of that. Same thing with fingers, same thing with feet, same thing with maybe shirts, right? This is why the custom developed. This is actually brought down in the Kitta Shulchan Aruch. Count. Don't when you count, you know, see, there's a minyan. So there's a minyan of Hoshia Esamecha. Where'd that come from? Because you're not even counting numbers, you're counting words. So you're not even in the parsha of making a count. Others say that the reason why they didn't quote the pasuk in Kisisa is because that lav is only when you count the whole Klal Yisrael. That's that lav. But when you count, is there a minyan? Is how many people are at the wedding? How many kohanim are around? Then there's no lav of that. You're not counting the whole Klal Yisrael. So then you have to come on to other pasukim. Okay. Amar Rav Nahiloi Bar Idi Amar Shmuel. Kibbut Shenismina Adam Parnis Al Tibur. When a Parnis is appointed over the Tibur, Mith Asher, he becomes wealthy. And there's a Girsa that says, Miyad, he right away becomes wealthy. Because if he becomes wealthy over time, he'll be accused of pocketing money. He's in charge, right? All of a sudden he got wealthy, it took him 3 months, all of a sudden he's driving the fancy car. But if he becomes Mith Asher Miyad, he didn't have even a chance. So people will realize it's because of the job he just got. Meikarativ, well, how do you know? Because by Shal, first it says Fayifkadim Bebezek. First it says that he counted with pottery. Ulubasov ksiv yifkadim betloim. And then it says he used sheep. He became wealthy. Instead of using pieces of pottery, he now used sheep. Sheep are much more expensive than pottery. So the Gemara says, Vidilma Mididhu. So maybe each person brought their own sheep. Lav Dafka, they were Shal sheep. So he went, Im King, so my Rabusa Dimiltha. So why would the Torah mention that? Why would the Navi mention that? It doesn't serve any purpose. Obviously, they must have been Shaul to tell you that he became rich. Now that we've discussed Shaul, we brought Shaul into the picture. Now the Gemara goes off onto a discussion about why, what did Shaul do when he did not kill out Amalek? What went on here? So the Gemara says, it says in the pasuk over there, Vayarav b'nachal, he fought in the Nachal. And the Mefarshim explain, Amalek was not in the Nachal, Amalek was in the mountain. So what does it mean he fought in the Nachal? It means he fought with himself. And what did he fight with himself about? About the idea of a Nachal, the Gemara is going to explain. Amar of money, al iski Nachal, he fought about the idea of the Nachal, which is what? Because b'shosh Amalek kadosh baruch hu l'shol. When Hashem said to Shaul, Lech, v'hikis es Amalek, go kill out Amalek. Amar, he said, Uma nefesh achas, when one soul is killed, and by the way, he's alluding to Egla Arufa, one soul is killed, it doesn't make a difference if it's a Jew or a guy. It's mashma from here. Even if you know for sure he's a guy, I don't know how you could know that, but let's say you did know that. Even if you knew for sure he's a guy, Egla Arufa would still kick in. Uma nefesh achas Amar Torah, Havi Egla Arufa, you have to do a whole kapara because one person was killed. So Kol Hanefashos Halalu, all these people, all these Amalekim, Alachas Kama Vakama, well, Pashtas Amalekim. Certainly, I should try to find the kapara for them. V'im Adam Chata, and even if these people are deserving of death, all these men, Behema Machata, what do Behemoths do wrong? I have to kill the Behemoths too. V'im Gedolim Chatu, and if the Gedolim sins, the adults, Ketanim Machatu, what did Ketanim do wrong? So Shaul started to use this logic to have Rachmanis on Amalek. Yotza Baskol, a Baskol came out, v'armulo, and told him, Alti tzadik harbe, don't be such a tzadik. Don't make such chesvonos to be such a tzadik. U'bishah she'amalo Shaul doeg, and when Shaul said to Doeg, sov ata upaga b'kahanim, go out and surround the city of Nov where the Kahanim are, because they, what happened was, when David, after Shaul didn't kill Amalek, so he lost the Malchus, and it was given to David. And Shaul got very upset. So the hunt for David was on. So David ran to Nov, but the city of Nov didn't know anything. They didn't know that this had happened. So they asked David for provisions, and they gave it to him. Because a guy comes in, they gave him food. Then Doeg told Shaul, you know what? Nov is rebelling against you. They support David. So Shaul said, oh yeah? So he killed out the whole city. Kill out the whole city of Nov Yerukahanim. Yotzabaskal v'amrlo al tirshabi. Such a Russia. Don't be such a Russia. So, what exactly is going on? What was Shaul's mistake? So the unconventional approach is that we know there's a pasuk in Bishalach. The last pasuk in Bishalach says al yad keis ka. Until Amalek is destroyed, Hashem's throne is incomplete. Until Amalek is destroyed, Mashiach can't come. So Shaul said to himself, that's it. As soon as I do this, Mashiach's coming. That's it. It's all waiting for. And he also knew that there are gemaras that say that when whoever doesn't do tshuva is not going to be zoche for the geula. So Shaul said, they're not zoche for the geula. I can't do it. There are so many Jews that are going to be left behind. They're not going to make it. So to save the Jews, he didn't kill Agag. That's the unconventional approach, making Shaul in the best possible light. Most Mefarshim don't learn that way, and they learn that he didn't kill Agag exactly because he had Rachmanas on him, he had pity on him. Some say he planned on killing him later, he wanted to make it more public, but others seem to say that it just simply had Rachmanos. And what he did was, by not killing Agag, he lost the Malucha, he knew he was going to lose the Malucha, and the mitzvah of killing Amalek is only Shayach when there's a Melech. You can't kill a Moloch without a Melech. That's another drasha. So it's not that he didn't do one thing. His whole kingdom was based on this, and by not doing it, he lost his kingship. That's why in the pasuk Shmuel says to him something so sharp. He says to him, "What'd you do?" He says, "In pasuk, he says, Ki ma'asto es devar Hashem, you despise the word of Hashem, vayim asicha Hashem, Hashem is despised, miyos melech al Yisrael, to have you remain king over Yisrael. So what is such a strong, what do you mean despise? What do you do? Okay, so he's not veira. Despise. So the answer is yeah. If somebody doesn't eat matzah, you don't shake a lulav. Okay, so you don't eat matzah, you don't shake a lulav. But when you do the halacha in a trick, it's much worse. Like we had in Brachas, the people, they used to get out of giving ma'aser by bringing in the ma'aser, the tefillah, through the back door. I'm a tzaddik. I'm putter. Of course I shake a lulav. But when you go ahead and you do actions in, to get you out of doing mitzvahs, that's much worse than not doing the mitzvah. Sitting at home and not going to shul, not shaking the lulav, okay. But when you go out of your way to put you in a position where you don't have to, that's much worse. That's already a whole different category of the ma'as. It's despising what you're doing. Right? You went out of your way to not kill a god, therefore you became not a king anymore, and therefore there's no mitzvah to kill them anymore. Because there's no mitzvah to kill a malach without a melech. That's what the Oni Yontif explained what Shaul did. Anyway, and so it's ironic that's exactly the point over here. When he was the melech, he didn't do his job. He made a cheshbin, how to save a god, right? And what happened? The apostle said, don't be such a tzaddik, don't be such a cheshbonos. But when he's not the melech anymore, and what happened? He was slighted by Novi Kahanim, he wiped them all out. So then already he was tough. Right? When it came to the Kahanim, he was tough. He wiped them all out. When it came to Moloch, he was a...
But if you follow that logic, yeah. Once he knew that he was the kingdom, he shouldn't have slaughtered Kahanim.
That's exactly the point. He wasn't even the king anymore. He had no right to do that. He had no right. It's exactly the point. But all of a sudden, he's standing on principle. Right? Because he felt he wasn't still the king, or maybe David wasn't right. Right? That's exactly the point. Amar Huna, Kamalo Chali Velo Magish Gavra Demare. How great is it when somebody is Demare Siyaya? How great is it somebody doesn't feel pain when he is close to Hashem? Why? Because Shaul, Achaz, Shaul did one thing wrong, but also low, and he got it to that. David, Shtayim, but also low. David did two things wrong, and he didn't lose the kingdom. Right? What are the things wrong? Shaul, Achaz, Mahi said Agag. He let Agag live. That's one thing he did wrong. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Ika Mahi said Dinovir Kahanim. What about the Mahi of Novir Kahanim? So the Gemara answers, no, but Mahi said the Agag Siv, Nichamti Kihim Lachti Es Shaul. Lamelech. Once he did that, Hashem already said, I regret that I made him the king. He lost it after that. The fact that he killed Novi Rakahanim, that's separate. David Bishtayim, David 2, what are the two? Maininu, what are they? To Uriah Dahasata. The fact that he had Uriah Hachiti killed, he set that all up just so he could get Basheva, and he was enticed to make a census of the Bnei Yisrael, which was a mistake, because they're not allowed to count people. Those are his two sins. What? So they say he even though he didn't sin, but he still shouldn't have done it. One second. V'ekanami ma'isa de Basheva. No, this is not Basheva.
Okay.
Uriah, separate thing. What about Basheva? So the Gemara says, no, Hashem ifurmina. He was punished for that. Dechsev v'es hakivsa yishalim arbasayim. And the lamb should be paid back four times, right? The Navi came to David and said, I'll give you a marshal. Let me tell you a story. There was a rich guy and a poor guy. And the rich guy, and someone came to the rich guy for provisions. So what did the rich guy do? He went to the poor guy and stole the poor guy's sheep and served it to the guest. So David said, such a cruel person, he should have to pay back four times. So the Navi said to David, it's exactly what you did. You have a million wives, you have so many wives, went to Uriah, took his life. So he was punished four times for that. What are the four times? Yeled, the firstborn from Basheva died. Amnon, he had a problem with Amnon, who wanted to rebel, and he also raped Tamar. Tamar they weren't brother and sister, but they were all children of David, and Avshalom, and his whole problems with Avshalom. Four problems he had, so he was punished. So David was punished for the Maaseh of Basheva. Don't tell me about that. So people don't, and all the Mefarshim explain, we're not saying over here that Hashem liked David, so to speak, better than Shaul. It's not an issue of favoritism. First of all, Shaul's Avera was directly related to his kingdom. David's weren't. They were private issues. That's number one. The Be'iri says that Shaul was temporary anyway. The whole Malchus was only meant to be temporary. And then Rashi said, David did tshuva. When David, you know, he did tshuva for these Avera. Shaul, we don't really see that he ever did tshuva. Hasam nami ifrumine. What do you mean? We see that David was punished for other things also. Dixir b'itin Hashem deber. For the census, there was a plague. So you see, David was punished for the plague and for the census as well, right? The od eis moed. So the Gemara says, no, Hashem lo ifrumi gufe. He wasn't punished from his body. The fact that other people died, that's not a punishment on David really himself. So the Gemara says, Hashem nami lo ifrumi gufe. He wasn't punished. For the fact that four of his issues happened with his children, that's not his guf. So the Gemara says, well, you're right. If Frur Migufa, he was punished. The Amar of Yehuda Amarav, Shisha Chadash Nitztara David. David became a Mitzorah for 6 months. He had Saras for 6 months. Uparsha had Menas Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin left him. He had no, Marsha says, he had no intellectual benefits. Then Estaka Hamenu, Shechina. The Shechina left him. Tichsiv, Yeshuvu Li Yarayach, Viedu Edosayach, Tichsiv, Hashivu Li Sasan Yeshecha. I'm going to get my Sasan back, meaning I'm going to get my Simcha back, because I'm going to get the Shechina back, because I'm not going to be a Mitzorah anymore. Okay, we'll stop over here because time is up, and we'll catch up tomorrow. Tomorrow's not as long.